Welcome to this RCGP podcast on patient online and inflammatory arthritis. This is produced by the Clinical Innovation and Research Centre at the College, and we'll be talking about the role of patient online record access as part of routine inflammatory arthritis care. With me today are Dr. Ralph Sullivan, RCGP Clinical Champion for Patient Online, who's been working on patient online record access for his patients, or offering it to his patients, since 2006. And Dr. Imran Khan, RCGP Clinical Support Fellow and GP in Berkshire. Who's this podcast intended for? Well, it's intended for GPs, but also wider practice teams. So practice nurses, physician associates, reception staff, and anyone who might be able to provide patients with information about patient online or guidance on their inflammatory arthritis or any or management of any of their other long-term conditions in practice. Ralf, why have we chosen arthritis as a clinical example for patients benefiting from having online access?
Well, Joe, first of all, the inflammatory arthritis conditions are very common. There's over 500,000 people in the UK who have rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthropathy. These conditions are medically complex. The patients are often multiple medications with risks of side effects. They use information a lot. We need information about lab test results, for example, to monitor their conditions. Comorbidities are often present or high risk of comorbidities such as cardiovascular disease need to be managed. These elements are information driven, and patients can really benefit from having access to their health record so that they can improve their understanding of their condition by focusing on those things that are in the record. They can look at the information, see what matters to them, see what they're happy with, see what they're concerned about. They become more engaged and more empowered to participate fully in decisions about their care.
Great, thank you. Imran, what are the key learning points that we're going to cover in this podcast?
Well, there are three main learning points with regards to the podcast. The first is the direct benefits to patients with inflammatory arthritis, what they can get from patient online itself. And then the second objective is using the DDL coded record itself in getting that benefit, how they're going to use and view test results, and generally to improve their health literacy. It's also the third and final objective is how we can use patient online to prepare for consultations and improve that patient-centered relationship or patient-centered care.
Great. So you may have come to this podcast through the RCGP toolkit, but for those that haven't, Ralph, can you tell us what the RCGP is doing to help practices work with GP online services?
Oh, certainly. First of all, let me explain what patient online, the term, means. It's just a generic term that we use to describe three of the online services that GPs can offer now to practices, to patients. I'm sorry, we're talking about appointments, booking and cancelling appointments, online ordering of repeat prescriptions, and access to the detailed coded record. All these three elements are part of the GP contractual requirement within England. Of course, there is also the facility to offer access to the full record for patients. This isn't a contractual requirement, but GPs in England can do this. Some of these services are available in devolved nations, but not all of them, and they do depend on the GP system that the practice is using. We've created a toolkit on the RCGP website, which is going to be relaunched in October. It contains guidance, it contains templates of standard documents, forms, resources for patients, and podcasts like this and webinars about clinical scenarios that we can use as examples of how patient online can be used for clinical purposes.
Ralph, why might a practice recommend patient online to a patient with inflammatory arthritis?
Well, these conditions are complex. They're often associated with comorbidities. Management is complex. There's a lot for patients to understand. The journey to a full functional understanding of their condition so that they can make decisions about their care and is not easy. Healthcare can be complex. It relies on blood tests, on scans, investigations. Shared care with hospital services are absolutely critical. To help them get to the point of understanding their condition well, patients' practices can offer patients online access to their records. Access to the coded data and to clinical correspondence means that patients know what matters to them. They can focus their learning about the key issues in their record. They can understand the purpose and the effects of improving self-care and the medication and advice they're receiving from their health professionals. Seeing the information in the record, they can prepare for consultations coming up. They can look at the latest laboratory results to see how their health is progressing. Many patients are really interested in knowing whether the blood tests relating to their medication are looking good. They're reassured if all is well. They may have symptoms and they'll think, is this a flare or not? They can get a blood test done easily, see the result, deal with it, contact their secondary care, or say, no, it may not be the arthritis, my CRP is still normal. This is really helpful for patients. It gives them confidence, it gives them the feeling that their condition is under control. Really, it is a perfect tool for delivering patient-centred care.
Are there any precautions that practices should consider before switching on record access for patients?
Well, yes, in fact, there are. Record access can be very straightforward. If the content of the record is uncontentious, it's what the patient would expect to see. There is nothing that the patient might be upset about or actually find harmful to them in any way. And if the record doesn't contain any data that is confidential information about a third party, then yes, the record should be safe for the patient to see and beneficial. It is important before switching on record access that a senior clinician checks the record, ideally someone who knows the patient well, to see if there is any information there that the patient perhaps should not see. Information like that can be redacted, hidden from view for the patient before the patient is given access. This can take a while and can be a reason why a practice may want to limit the number of records that they offer access to in a month, for example. The quality of the data is important. Patients will expect the record to be complete, to be accurate, to be unambiguous. And it is a useful time when doing this checking process to make sure that the data is as high quality as it can be made for the purpose of patients viewing it online. And it's quite important that the practice think about consciously changing the data recording standards to make sure that for all patients, whether they have record access or not, they may have record access next month, all patients have records that the practice is happy for them to see. When the patient starts to look at the record, there may be things there that they don't understand, and the practice should have a system and should be ready to receive any challenges or questions from the patients who feel that there's something in the record that's incorrect, that needs changing, that's missing. And in actual fact, this can be very helpful. Patients can often find something significant, such as, for example, a missed allergy or adverse reaction to medication that's not been coded in the record. Giving access to an extended record with things like consultation notes and hospital letters on face value seems quite a challenging thing to do, particularly if you're going to suddenly open up maybe in excess of 100 letters to the patient. But actually, patients often understand that that is something that is just too difficult and time-consuming for a practice to take on. But what they really find valuable is to be able to see those records that arrive from when the record is switched on. So future hospital letters are much easier to deal with as they come in, when they're filed, if there's something that the patient maybe needs to discuss with the doctor before they see it online, then the letter can be redacted and such, until such point as a GP is able to discuss the content, and then the patient can have access to it after that. There are other issues that the practice should be aware of around vulnerable patients and safeguarding those patients where they may be coerced unwillingly into providing someone else with access to the record. And there's a balance to be had there, where somebody who's unable to use their record may actually benefit from a close family member or a carer having access to their GP online services, where the practice is content that there will be no harm to the patient as a result of that.
Thanks, Ralph. Imran, how does Patient Online fit with current NICE guidelines and secondary care management for inflammatory arthritis?
Thanks, Joe. Well, as Ralph stated earlier, the majority of patients with inflammatory arthritis in this country have rheumatoid arthritis. More than 400,000 of the 500,000 patients have rheumatoid arthritis. And there's been some recent NICE guidelines, well, very recent NICE guidelines around the management of patients with rheumatoid arthritis. And we talk about Patient Online being in line with this, the NICE guidelines. The new guidance states that all diagnosis and management remains the remit of secondary care. And we don't really advocate Patient Online has any role in the diagnosis or management of the initial diagnosis. NICE also recommends all patients have rapid access to specialist care for flares. So whilst we encourage patients to use Patient Online to have access to their test results, in the context of a flare, we don't recommend Patient Online being used for that particular purpose. It does, however, state that all patients have access to or have an annual review, but Patient Online can clearly have a role in this. It does provide an opportunity for patients to get involved in their direct coded record and have an engaging experience in terms of that review. So, in generally, the Patient Online can have a useful role in supporting patients during flares, but it's a part of an annual review or interim review process that it does have a particularly useful role. And that's where the direction that we would take it from here.
Okay. So, Ralph mentioned patients looking at their blood tests earlier. Imran, could you elaborate on this?
Okay. In inflammatory arthritis, blood tests are used for both routine monitoring and when patient has a flare. This is particularly relevant if patients are on DMARDs, who will have regular blood tests during or monitoring and during phases of increased disease activity or flare of their condition. Ultimately, obviously, the responsibility for monitoring the blood tests usually forms part of a shared care agreement between the primary and secondary care teams. However, this doesn't prevent the patient from looking at the results themselves, and it empowers the patient to become more engaged with their own health condition, with their own problem, and in fact, that whether it's a flare or whether the condition is stable. And not only that, it also provides another safety net in terms of looking and monitoring blood tests. And so whilst ultimate responsibility remains with the clinician doing the test, it does provide another avenue for patients to be more aware and to highlight things to their practitioner, whether it's like their general practitioner or the secondary care team itself. But there's more guidance on this from the Patient Online Toolkit. There's also this idea that is both in the recent NICE guidelines and the British Society of Rheumatology, that it's not just about looking at specific test results, but it's about monitoring those the trends or seeing a particular result over time. That could be looking at somebody's white cell count and seeing if it's gradually reducing over time. Could be a CRP or an ALT, or the renal function is slowly rising. Now, whilst again, the monitoring of these trends, strictly speaking, the responsibility lies with the clinical teams, it does again provide an opportunity for patients to look at these trends and again become more engaged in their own care. And we know that patients who are more engaged are more likely to be involved in their own care. And again, it's something that Patient Online provides good access to in terms of looking at historical results as well as the most recent blood test results.
Okay, we've talked about online access and how the detailed coded record can help patients. Can you describe how it can be used within the RCGP's model for person-centred care?
Okay. Patient Online is able to support the care of patients involved in that support and planning process. So that's the collaborative care planning for patients. It allows patients to be a continual part of the process as part of an iterative review process. At a review or a care planning appointment or interim assessment, the patient and the clinician can agree a set of objectives or criteria that are important to them, a testing regime perhaps, or the management of a particular comorbidity. And they can also agree targets. And the patient, over a period of time, they can become more engaged with their record. They can have a look to see how their objectives or their results fit in with some of those targets that they may have agreed as part of that review or interim assessment. And this is in addition to any other of the services that Patient Online provides in terms of managing their own medication. And over the course of time, it allows the patient to see what's changing, what they need to focus on doing the next review appointment perhaps. So it's all part of an iterative process the patient can get involved with by interacting with their own direct coded record.
Great. So we're coming to the end of our time today. Would you mind just summarising what we've covered in this podcast?
Thanks, Joe. I mean, the purpose of this podcast has been to encourage practices and patients, in fact, to think about recommending Patient Online to patients with arthritis. Inflammatory arthritis is a very common condition affecting over 500,000 people in the UK. These patients are often complex. They have multiple contacts with general practice and secondary care. They have multiple medications. They have complex care regimes and often lots of assessments or interim reviews, annual care reviews, all things that Patient Online can help with. We've described how some of the Patient Online services can help manage that and can form part of the consultation process. But really, it's about engaging patients, about getting them involved in their own care and being part of that person-centred care that the RCGP promote strongly and Patient Online can clearly help with.
Brilliant, thanks. Okay, it falls to me to say thank you to Imran and to Ralph for joining me today, and thank you to everyone who's listened to the podcast. Just to mention again that we have the Patient Online Toolkit on the RCGP website. If you haven't already seen that, then I'd urge you to go to it. There are more webinars, guidance, podcasts, resources, templates, all sorts of information on there to do with patient online and person-centred care. And it's an incredibly useful resource. Thanks again for listening.